Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. So glad you're here. We'll be in the book of Jonah, chapter number 4. So if you have your Bibles, we'd love for you to turn there, or your app on your phone or tablet, Jonah chapter 4. Next week, Easter weekend, we just as the church, look forward to next weekend. It's a crazy weekend. It's a lot of effort. We have multiple Good Friday gatherings here, multiple Easter egg hunts on Saturday, and then we'll have 3 gatherings on Sunday, 8, 9, 30, and 11. So we'd love for you to come out, encourage you, invite people to come with you. If you are able, we are going to have a shuttle for all of our gatherings that will be at the CAI building, and we'll have donuts over there. Donuts, that's shuttle. Free donuts at the shuttle. So if you can shuttle, listen, if you are older or have babies, please don't shuttle. Like, it's good to be here. But if you're able to shuttle, we would love for you to do that. Just make parking a little bit easier. We're going to have a parking crew out there. And we're blessed to be a church that has seen over the years so many people come. I think part of that is we've been a light to this community. We love this community. Part of that is you. You have seen the mission that as a church we're called to reach people. And so you have asked people, you have asked your friends, you have asked your neighbors. And so it's a wonderful thing. So we look forward to next weekend. I do ask if you're a part of this church, will you please pray? I want to encourage you every day to pray that the Lord will use this coming weekend for his glory, that people will come to know Christ as their Savior. And so I just ask as a church that we will pray together. We will continually bring this before the Lord this entire week. All right, Jonah chapter 4, coming to the end of Jonah. Last week we studied chapter 3, which is this amazing, wonderful chapter. We see Jonah. In the book of Jonah, Jonah turns around. Jonah's running from the Lord, and he turns around. The Lord helped him turn around, didn't he? Like, the Lord sends a storm, the Lord sends a wind, the Lord sends a fish. And 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this fish, Jonah repents. Jonah prays to the Lord. And Jonah now turns around, goes the other way. Now you see this obedience out of Jonah. He is speaking the words of the Lord. The Lord says, I have a message for you to preach, Jonah. And so Jonah goes and preaches that message. Now, if we were writing to have a writing that people would enjoy or would just be like, oh, that's such a sweet, nice story. If you're writing a story to be like, and they lived happily ever after, the book of Jonah would end right now. We wouldn't have chapter 4. If the Bible was written just to make us happy, there wouldn't be any chapter 4 because chapter 4 changes things. And so chapter 4, things get interesting. Chapter 3 is so beautiful because Jonah obeys the Lord. He goes, preaches repentance, and this city of some 120,000 people repent. There's sorrow over sin. There is a turning away from sin. There is a turning to the Lord. The chapter ends like this, where God, the Bible says this, when God saw that they what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. There's this beautiful repentance. In the New Testament, it tells us about the angels of God rejoice when one repents, when one person turns. There's this joy. But for chapter 4, Jonah doesn't have this joy. Look with me at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. and he was angry. The literal translation here, I think the Legacy Standard Version does it well. It says this: this was a great evil to Jonah. That's the literal translation. Another translation: to Jonah, this seemed wrong, exceedingly, extremely. He was angry. Chapter 4, we have Jonah's temper tantrum that he throws, kicking his feet, not happy, and we even see him yelling at the Lord. Yesterday, my wife and my son were out to eat, and I brought up my son's, in our family, famous temper tantrum. The one that he had, and I thought it was like he was 2 or 3, and my wife was like, oh no. He had just turned 4 years, like it is vivid to my wife. She knows exactly when this, it was at Kroger. This person walked up to me and addressed how bad of a mother I, right? Like it is very vivid, the temper tantrum. Like every single good parenting move that my wife had, nothing worked. He threw his temper tantrum. Here in chapter 4, that's why I love the Bible, because it's so real. It's true. It doesn't just give you they lived happily ever after. It tells you the truth. And God speaks to our hearts. And God tells the truth about what really happened. Here we have the temper tantrum of Jonah. One said it this way, that the author of Jonah goes to great lengths to express the all-consuming nature of Jonah's anger. So let's read it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it up in two halves. First half, verses 1 through 6, and then we'll read through the end. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. I also think sometimes when you're studying scripture and working through, maybe you're in your own Bible reading, you're like, man, I don't know how this applies. I love when we get to chapters like this that's all about anger, and you're like, well, this doesn't really apply to any of us. None of us have ever dealt with anger before. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. That's why I ran away, God. And back in the beginning when you told me to go, here's why I didn't go. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself. He made the shelter. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So here's what Jonah does. I you know me, I'm a visual person. I read this and I think, so Jonah, he goes outside the city and he gets his chair, and the Bible says he builds the shelter, and we'll find out later he's probably not very good at building things because it wasn't a good shelter. But I just picture Jonah outside the city of Nineveh. Right? He's like, okay, let's see what's going to happen to these people, all right? And he sits and he gets in his chair and he sits down with his gas can of anger and goes, well, maybe they didn't really repent. What's the Lord going to do to them now? This is what Jonah did. Jonah's got his can of anger sitting. Now, there's nothing in here. Everybody relax, all right? Everybody, right? Why do you even think that? Is there gas in there for real? Because gas is dangerous. Fuel's explosive. Fuel's costly. We all know that. It's what anger does. It can cost us. It's dangerous. And Jonah sits outside the city in his anger against God. His anger at who God is. And what God did. When we think about anger, one said anger fuels almost everything ugly. From cursing to envy to vengeance to isolation domestic violence to domestic terrorism, from leaving a church the wrong way to creating a cult. Anger is a fuel. We see Jonah sitting outside the city in his wrath, and one said, hoping their repentance wouldn't last. One book said he set up a booth willingly, accepting isolation and needless hardship, all of which he embraced as a sign of his excellent holiness. Thinking of Jonah, that maybe he should have not been sitting outside the city in his chair. Maybe he should have been inside the city helping people in their repentance. But that's not where his anger took him. He set up a booth. Another book I was underlining about anger, it said anger leads to a pity party, and this leads to depression, and with that depression, we don't get up, we don't go, then we're despondent, we check out, then we're in despair because we can't see anything good, and then anger leads to death because it makes everything not worth it. And here we see that progress in Jonah's life. God, I want to die, is where the anger led him. Now, I do want to challenge you before you get on your high horse and think, what a mess Jonah is. Look at that guy. One pastor said this, a Jonah lurks in every Christian heart. See, when you read the Bible, when you read chapter 4, and if it makes you feel more righteous, like, man, glad I'm not like him, I think you're missing what the Bible is saying. If ever we read the Bible and it makes us feel more righteous, I think we're missing the truth of the word and pointing to, hey, the questions that God asked Jonah, maybe you should ask the questions to yourself. And in chapter 4, we see his anger. And I wrote down the question, well, what is he angry about? You went to a city and they repented. They turned away from their mess. Shouldn't this make you happy? And with Jonah, what he does is he says, Lord, the whole time, I'll tell you, I didn't go because I knew you would do this. And then he says, Lord, I know who you are. You're gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You relent from disaster. What is Jonah doing? I think Jonah, one, is speaking from personally. He is speaking, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 14, I think it is, you'll find Jonah, he goes to the king of Israel who's a mess, and he tells him about the mercy of God, not because the king is good, but because God is good and he gives mercy. So Jonah knows about this mercy personally. But Jonah's also quoting, there's some 10 times in the Bible where these words are brought together speaking of God's grace and his steadfast love. Like in Joel 2:13 or Exodus 34:6 when God talks to Moses, or in Psalms 103, verses 8 through 10. You see it so clearly. I think you guys have that verse. You can throw it up there. But the same message, right? Psalms 103:8, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Same thing Jonah's saying. But what is interesting about Jonah is he's disappointed in the character of God. Again, one commentary said this, the horrifying reality is that Jonah's anger is not a result of any confusion about God, about his character, his purpose, his word, his will. It is not a result of a misunderstanding about God and who God and what God is like. The tragic and heartbreaking reality is that Jonah is outraged precisely because he does know God. He knows his character, his perfect purpose, his will, his word. And it is because he knows God that he runs from God, because he ran to Nineveh. He's angry that God would save those people. He's okay. Think about this. We all step back and go, Jonah, don't you just see what happened? You ran away from the Lord. You didn't follow the Lord. The Lord called you. There was a, remember the fish? You were just in the fish. Do you not remember God called? And you said, God, I'm running back to you. And then you went the other way and you saw God's, remember that? Right. And Jonah would take God's mercy and grace. But there's something off. Because it's like Jonah is okay with God giving grace and mercy to certain people, but not to other people. I read, you know that statement, if God is for us, if God is for us, he must be against them. Oh, wait, that's different. And we see Jonah sitting back in his commitment to the condemnation, to them being judged. Again, I love what one writer said. He said, Jonah thought there were sinners, and then there were sinners. See, Jonah was a part of this group. Jonah was a part of the group of good people that just needed God to help them a little bit, to be a little bit better. And God, you know, think about the church. We're just a bunch of good people, and God came along and helped us get across the finish line. But that's not true. Jonah thought, hey, maybe this group of people, when we think about the church, we're not just a bunch of good people. We're a bunch of people that need the mercy and grace of God. And we think of, I was thinking of this week, like the grace of God is so amazing. God blessing us to be with him in a relationship with him, to be with him for eternity. But don't forget about the mercy of God. God doesn't just bless us with his grace. He saves us from eternal damnation and separation from him. He saves us. He gives us mercy. We are all people who need God's mercy. And our anger, we can miss things and not see them correctly. We will look at God who loves us, but doesn't love them. Yesterday, I was driving home, came up on a car. They had two bumper stickers on this car. One said, God is watching, picture of Jesus, right? Like that was, God is watching. And then the bumper sticker under it said, if you run into me, I'm going to get out and beat the tar out of you before the cops show up. Because my children are in the back seat. And God cares about my children and the safety of my children, but God doesn't care about you. Right, God's watching, but what God is watching is my car and my kids. And what happens in our anger, we go, no, God's watching over us, but if you mess up, you know who God doesn't care about? You. Cares about my family, my people, my country, my nation, but not you. And Jonah teaches us some great truth here. He sat in anger and he is missing. He is missing the clear grace of God. A lady by the name of Annie Lamott said this, since I've already been offensive, let's keep going. She said, you can definitely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people that you hate. And you see Jonah sitting in the chair, mad that God, the God of salvation, would have mercy on a people. This is what he's angry about. So what does the Lord do? What's so amazing, the Lord asks three questions. As you read the end of the book, the end of the chapter, you see God's great compassion as Jonah is just stewing in anger. I think about me, what I may have said, I would have looked at him and said, you foolish man. Don't you see God's grace in your life? Don't you see God's mercy? You just can't. Look what God do, you foolish man. But watch what God does. See, verse 4 says, the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city, made a booth for himself, the shelter, and he sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. Watch Jonah's response. It says, so Jonah was exceedingly glad, extremely. He rejoiced with this plant came up, and man, this changed everything. There is just this. He has so much joy because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm, then attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God's still not done, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked the same thing again, that he might die. And he says the same thing. It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die. And the Lord gives him one more question. And the Lord said, you pity the plant, for which you do not labor, nor do you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle? The Lord asked Jonah three questions. We see this happen often in the Bible. Even when Jesus was here on earth, we see him ask questions. Jesus does the same. Like when Adam in Genesis chapter 3 sins, Jesus in Genesis 3, 9 through 11 says, hey, Adam, where are you? Do you think Jesus didn't know where Adam was at? He was like, I got to find Adam. Where did he go? No, he used a question to wake Adam up, to see how big the sin, to see what happened when Adam's son Cain killed Abel. In Genesis 4:9, he goes to Cain and says, where is your brother? God knew where his brother was. In the book of Job struggling, and the Lord comes. The Lord in Job 38:4 says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Oh, who stretched the line upon it? What the Lord does often is he asks us questions. We in the Bible, we see the questions so we can learn. So we can see the truth, see his love. This is exactly what the Lord does here. But as we read this and you see Jonah, he's angry and the plant comes and he's happy, exceedingly happy, and the plant goes away and he's exceedingly mad. You go, man, you are in a fog. You are missing. We stand on the outside and go, what are you doing, Jonah? Like, don't you, the Lord, he's been so clear, so vivid, and you are still standing in the fog. It's what anger does. And that question to ask ourselves, do you do well to be angry? Is there anger in your life that's honestly put you in a fog, that you're missing the truth? Now, I know all of us, when we have anger, we only have righteous anger, right? Righteous anger, it's good. You know, Jesus flipped those tables, I can too, right? Like, we always go to this. There's a righteous anger, but when your anger takes you to bitterness and hate, and now when you go and be a part of family or a part of church, you see that person, and the first thing is not love and compassion, it's bitterness and hate. I'll tell you, you don't have a righteous anger. It's leading you to sinful things, and you can sit in the fog, not really see what's going on. A little over a year ago, I had a meeting with all the elders of the church, five elders, and so we went out to lunch. We had an all-day meeting. We were driving back from lunch, coming down 75, and Josh Combs, our lead pastor, driving, passed out, driving down 75. Many heard this, and so we were in a minivan. I was in the back seat. Pastor Roy was here, and Caleb was in the front, and Ryan Story, and I just remember looking in the car, did this veering, and so it hit the concrete, and we flipped over and just slid down 75 for a while. And thankfully, like, the Lord took care of us, and we were all fine and watched over us. And I was talking with Roy about that this week, and now we can look back and we can smile a little bit. And remember getting to the hospital, and I reached into my pocket and I pulled out a chainsaw tool. And I thought, why do I have a chainsaw tool? So for some reason, when I was on 75, see, when I was in the back of the van and I got thrown, it knocked me out. So there's like 45 minutes of I have no clue anything that happened. All I know is Roy told me that the state cops were like, hey, you got to get him from wandering around 75. Tell him to sit down, right? Like, I had no clue what was happening. And I guess I picked up a chainsaw tool on the side of the road. That was great. Don't remember any of it, right? In a fog. The first thing I remember is getting into the ambulance. And I remember I got in the ambulance and I just looked at the guy in the ambulance. I go, hey, is my wife and son okay? And he looked at me. I think he even kind of chuckled. He's like, there were five men in the van. And I remember going, my wife and son, I think they're okay. Or he was just trying to come out of the fog to see. I tell you that story because I think about me. I didn't even know who needed help. Couldn't see anything. If you're a believer in Christ, what can happen is the anger, this unrighteous anger that you allow to stew in your life, this bitterness, it can cause you to not see who needs help. You can put importance on the wrong thing. We look at Jonah. Look what became important to him. This little itty-bitty plant. That's what everything was about. That's where he sought his joy from. Man, this plant is going to give me joy. But it was temporary. It didn't last. He was consumed by this temporary comfort. And what I see in my life that can happen in the church life is we can get our eyes fixed on temporary things, and no wonder we get angry because those things aren't going to last. No wonder the world is upset and there's anger in the world. They keep trying to put things in place of God, and those things that aren't God always fail. But then we in the church, we do the same kind of thing. We'll do prayers like this. God, as long as you give that to me, or you make sure to do that, or don't do that, or save that. If you do that, God, then I will follow you. What have we done? Lord, what I think is going to make me most happy, most fulfilled, as long as you give that to me, then I will follow you. And we miss. God is the one who gives us hope. God is the one who gives us joy. Jonah should be filled with the love of Christ. There should be this excitement that not only has God's mercy and grace been poured over his life, he has the eternal God has loved him and saved him. He should look at a nation, look at them, and go, look what God has done in their life. How can I be a part of it? What anger will do, will confuse us. We'll start putting our hope in the wrong things. So at the very end of Jonah, the Lord asks one more question. In verse 10, it says, the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor. You did not make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And the Lord, in this wonderful, caring way, this compassionate way, says, Jonah, I want you to see my compassion. I want to bring you in to see my love. He says, should not I pity Nineveh? Should not I have compassion? There's a great city. There's 120,000 people. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. Does that mean they're uneducated? No. Spiritually lost. No direction. No hope. Jonah, in the fish, you said salvation is of the Lord. And now you go, but God, I'm going to tell you who your salvation should be for. The Lord, in his compassion, draws Jonah into his love that he will see this. When we think about the Lord's love for us, his compassion for us, it draws us to his mercy. That's why Romans 12, 1 says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we will walk the walk that we're called to walk, this life as a believer, as a Christian, we must rest in God's mercy. We are people who need God's salvation. Today, we call this Palm Sunday. We talk about Jesus the week before he went to the cross. He comes into the city. As Jesus draws near to the city on Palm Sunday, I want you to just hear Christ. It says, when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. It's God the Father shows us this compassion. Christ the Son shows us this love as he comes to the cross. There's so many things to ponder in this chapter. I hope this week you don't just leave this and move on, that you will take this week and ponder. I told people before the sermon that I have still, there's so many things to work through in my own soul, pondering the thoughts. Truth here. But can I ask you, what are you angry about? Have you justified your anger? Even that anger that's turned to bitterness or self-centeredness. Have you forgotten the mercy and grace of God? Oh, it's so easy. We get into a place where we just will go, man, I'm so thankful for God's grace. But we miss the mercy that we are all lost people who need Jesus to save us. I tell you, I can't wait till next week at Easter, and so many people will come in here that I've never seen before, and I get to share with them the love of Christ, and I just have this thought in my mind of telling them, listen, we are not a church full of good people that God has just helped us just to be a little bit better, and God has pushed us across the finish line, and God died on the cross that can make us a little bit better. That is not our church. We are a church of lost people who are desperate need. We are sinners who need a savior, and thankfully God has saved our soul to now live differently, and we now live in the power of Christ to live a different life, that we have true happiness in the Lord. But the book of Jonah being so real, you see a man and his journey and this realness of repentance and turning and preaching, but you also see this stumbling. You see the struggle. You see that when someone comes to know Christ, they don't go, man, everything else is easy. You go, man, it wasn't easy. He still struggled in this. So to ask the question, what are you angry about? Do you need to rest in God's forgiveness because of what he has forgiven you, that he has saved you if you know him as Savior? That's why Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Maybe in your anger that you have, you ask the Lord to open up your heart to his forgiveness, to see it and to know it. But I guess another question is, has your anger led you to find joy in the wrong things? Has your anger led you to try to find joy in money or sports or that last bet that you had that you think that's going to fulfill you, but that doesn't fulfill you, so you got to go get another one? You're constantly in your anger, keep trying to put things in the place of God, and they keep failing, and it's making you angry. Maybe the truth is, like Jonah, you haven't placed God in the place where that he is our joy. Maybe in the church, there's something or someone you have anger with. And the truth is, maybe you don't put the sin on them, you put it on yourself. And you seek the Lord and go, Lord, do I do well to be angry? He may say no. Maybe in your anger, you're sitting in the chair doing this. Something pops up on social media and something tragic happens, and you, in your mind or in your social media text, you go, well, guess you got what you deserved. And in our anger, we sit in the chair watching. When the Lord says he has saved us and the mercy of the Lord has been poured on our life, let's get out of the chair. Let's get back in the city. Let's go to people who don't know anything about the Lord, who have no spiritual discernment. And we have the truth of the Lord. Let's get out of the chair, get out of the anger, and go love people. Let's fall into the compassion of Christ and learn to love people as Christ loves us. The book of Jonah ends so abruptly. It's like, did they lose some manuscripts? Because it's like the Lord just asked a question. There's no answer. Are we missing something? Shouldn't there be more there? And my thought to this one is this: the Lord has the last word. The Lord has the last word. But as I have walked through this book and studied this book, I would argue, how do we know what happened on that ship when they threw Jonah over? How do we know what Jonah prayed in that fish? How do we know the message that he spoke to Nineveh? How do we know? How do we know? How do we have this great insight to this anger of this prophet? How do we know these things? And I guess I would contend, I guess maybe even hope to believe, it's because Jonah spoke them. Jonah was the one who said, "This was my life." Jonah was the one that would be bold enough and brave enough to not hide his sin, but to say, "This is who I was." And I don't need to give you a happily ever after at the end of the book of Jonah. This was what happened. And I think, and maybe even contend, that maybe this is a testimony of Jonah and his walk with the Lord and what the Lord was doing in his life. So for those of us who know the Lord, may we listen to the questions of the Lord. May we enter into the compassion of the Lord. May we run back to the mercy and the grace of God that will change our anger. Knowing our hope is in the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. If you are new here and maybe you don't have a relationship with Christ, I'll tell you, we believe the scripture preaches the most importance, Christ died on the cross. And he rose again. And he is the only way. He is the truth and he is the life. He is the Savior. If we will repent of our sins, confess Jesus as Lord, he will save us. So this morning, if you've never accepted Christ and you know this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart, you know it. May you respond by believing that right where you're at, you can say, "Christ, right in your seat, forgive me of my sins and save me, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. Be the Lord of my life." And that proclamation of faith, if it's real, the Bible says you will be saved to have a new life in Christ. Let's stand together as we sing one more song of worship. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your word. Thank you for the challenge. The truth of Prophet Jonah and where his heart was at. May we be challenged to not let anger put us in a fog, to not put things in the wrong place, Lord. To have a compassion for people. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.